It's like, yo, you're trying to get everybody now.
Bill Russell, man. Hey, Bill Russell still pull up and give him some boards, man. Like, dude's a legend. What's good, everybody? This is BCB. This is Casual Basketball. We're breaking down the game a dollar at a time. This is Aaron Washington, your host. And this time, I am joined by Chloe Rogers. I believe this is the second time on my podcast.
Yes, sir.
1/4 of the Nothing But Facts podcast. They just had Doug Christie on, a former NBA player. So, I mean, they got great things going on over there with their podcast. He's also a writer, and he is a huge 2K guy. So if you guys are looking for someone to hit up in the lobbies and get a run in, hit up my boy Chloe right here. My team in particular, man. He's a my team nut, so you can get some action over there with him. But Chloe, pleasure to have you on, man. Great to be able to get back on the mic with you, talk some ball, and just looking forward to this this evening here with you. It's a pleasure.
No, yes, sir. Appreciate you for having me on. It's always love. Reaching out from 2K brings people together.
That's right.
It's the most addicting game. It's toxic.
I know,
but
right?
It brought us together.
For sure, man. It's wild. It's been almost like, I can't remember the last time I played it, but I remember a year ago, man, I was knee deep in that game. I was actually probably shoulder deep playing every day, 8 hours a day on that grind. So, you know, if you all are watching and you know about that My Team grind, go ahead and drop it in the comments and let us know what you got going on over there.
That shit is so crazy.
I know, right? It's wild, man. But we have a couple of topics on deck today. The first of which is going to be the Brooklyn Nets situation with their super team. You know, they got some great buyout candidates that have come on over and looking for a chance at a ring. Aldridge, Blake Griffin. I want to take a look at their situation, what they got going on. And then also OKC, the Thunder really have a great core guys, and they're doing really well. Although they're a little bit farther down the standings, they have a great core developing and a great culture. So I wanted to take a look at their situation and see what they got brewing over there. So, Chloe, let's get into it, man. A lot of people are talking about the Brooklyn Nets right now. They can't stay out of the news. You know, they're a cheat code. They have three guys that are arguably in, like, the top 15 in the league. So it's almost like Golden State Warriors 2.0 because KD just ran and created another beast over there. So we're trying to put this in perspective, man. We're going to look at some numbers here and see what they got going on. So obviously they're on a run right now. They're 33-15. First place in the Eastern Conference as of this recording. Their biggest Achilles heel is still defense. They're 24th of efficiency so far this season. But, you know, they're a juggernaut on offense. And even with guys in and out of the lineup, they're still managing to just dig out these wins. And they came back from 18 down last night against the Houston Rockets. So, cheat code, man. They have a lot going on over there.
It's the offense is too much. No matter what that opposing team does on defense, it's just like, right. Yo, Kyrie, Harden, KD. Top 15 players, but scoring wise, they might all be in the top five. One of them misses, and the other two just pick it up. Harden is missing today. I bet you Kyrie goes for like 35 points. He's just going to carry the team.
Probably.
Joe Harris, he's going to be very important for them in the playoffs, 100%. You got people like Bruce Brown stepping up. But the only thing I think is their problem. It's not that I don't have a problem with Aldridge and Blake Griffin. I just think they need a big man because DeAndre Jordan's not going to cut it. They still got to deal with Giannis in the playoffs. They still got to deal with Embiid, and Bam is over there too. And I think the Heat, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to get Whiteside. I know he's not a big name, but he's still a big name that could help with Bam.
I want to say those April Fool's joke. At least I hope it's April Fool's.
I hope
so. I don't think any
Heat. I already talked to a couple Heat fans. I don't think they want him at all.
Nah, man. I think we're kind of that whole saga was like we want to put in our rear view and move on, but.
Sure.
You got to watch out for these jokes and April Fools, man. They'll get you the pump fixture out there. So you got to stay on your feet. don't leave your feet, man. That's one of the key rules out here today. But as you said, man, the Nets are really just kind of wreaking havoc. And I cannot believe they're doing this without Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant
best player on the team. That shit's insane.
Yeah. Like arguably the greatest scorer of all time is not playing for this team. That's still first in the East. And he hasn't played since February 13th. Against Golden State. So I know you remember that game. They gave Golden State the beat down when they went on that road trip and really gave them the business. So since then, KD's been out with the hamstring.
They've been 19-3.
That sounds right.
I believe so.
I believe that's right. Yeah. Just an incredible run. Ironically enough, Harden has, and I think it's the same injury why he's out tonight, it's the hamstring. So them hammies are getting a workout, man. They're putting up all those points, I guess. Something's got to.
Yeah, pace. I saw a tweet that it was like five of the the best offenses this year right now are like in the top five in NBA history, like offensive rating.
Oh yeah.
And just last year, the Mavs broke it. Now five teams are breaking it this year. Like the NBA is, it's kind of, it's bittersweet because I feel like when it comes to comparing players in like 10, 15 years, it's like, how can you compare players from the 90s and this generation and the next generation when these teams are going to be putting up 130, 140 points in 48 minutes? It's insane.
That's a good point, man. It's hard to compare across eras because we already have that problem. Like if you're trying to compare Bill Russell or especially like Wilt Chamberlain to today's game, it's really hard because the competition was different. The pace is way different. I mean, he played all 48 minutes, which guys don't do anymore. So you're going to see it become harder and harder to compare these guys across eras because today's game is so much different than even 5 years ago. So, you know, across the board, things are just changing a lot. But the big news for Brooklyn here recently has been the buyout market. So they went and acquired LaMarcus and Blake Griffin. Mm-hmm. And how are you feeling about that one? I know personally, I don't want to see Claxton lose minutes because he's probably their best defensive big out there. Mm-hmm. But obviously, they're going to want to give Otter some run if they're going to bring him in off the buyout. So
I feel like it's just like two guys that are going to give you like 10, 15 minutes and they're vets and they're two vets that are looking to win. I just don't understand. I feel like everyone low key hates LeBron. And let's be honest, we all know what that finals is going to be in a couple of months or what everyone thinks it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But it's just like everyone's going over to Brooklyn and it's like Kevin Durant is the one recruiting them. Like, why is he doing this? And like, why is everyone going over there? It's like, I feel like people really have like a vendetta against LeBron. It's like, yo, I'm your age and I can't do what you're doing. You're 36 years old and you're still doing this. Now I'm going to beat you. Like, I feel like they feel like it's good to beat LeBron because he's the best. And I feel like it just shows everyone how good he still is that people don't want to join him. And at the same time, I feel like it shows how good the Lakers are because it's like I feel like Drummond's that missing piece they need. And now Anthony Davis is going to go play the four. But going back to Brooklyn, it's just two veterans that are going to look for that ring and they're going to give you those minutes. They for sure could still play. Like Blake Griffin finessed the world. He could still play. He's not – I believe he's out of his prime 100%. But he could still give you maybe 15 points a game. And Aldridge could turn his back to the basket and he's still going to give you that post game every single night.
Right. The great thing about Aldridge is it's more size. So if you're going up against those Eastern elites you mentioned a few minutes ago, the Embiids of the world and guys like that, at least you can throw out a near 7-footer with a lot of size on him. He's like 250 or something like that weight-wise. So you could throw him out there, and maybe if you're playing a guy that's not going to be a super stretch big, he can probably hold his own in the post. And then, of course, as you said, he still has some post skills, man. So he's going to be able to get in there and get some points. But the key thing about Aldridge in his situation was the money he gave back to San Antonio. So that goes to show how much he wanted to escape that situation because in buyouts, you know, these players agreed to give back a certain amount of money. Yeah. Drummond and other guys gave back like less than $1 million and they're going to recoup that money in their next deal. Mm-hmm. But Aldridge gave back $7.25 million to San Antonio. Now he's still going to make 18 mil off of San Antonio. So it's not like he's hurting, but
yeah.
He make a lot of money, and you typically don't see that. So I'm sure
he's kind of up there in age too, right? I believe he's like in his already mid-30s, right?
Yeah, yeah. I believe he's I want to say 35. I could be wrong.
Like, but he knows the time is coming, so he's just like, let me get that ring. Yeah. Everyone's gonna remember that in 15 years. No one's gonna remember anything, but oh, LaMarcus Aldridge. Oh yeah, he has a championship. That's what he's trying to get at.
Yeah,
I would have done the same thing. I just don't get like you could have gone to LA is still, you could have gone to any contending team. I just feel like it's just like if Brooklyn wins, everyone's gonna be like, okay, they were supposed to win. Like it's no excitement if they win. I feel like it's even gonna be more excitement if the Lakers win because they got to deal with, they're probably gonna be a fifth seed, maybe a sixth seed.
Yeah.
And I'm still kind of scared because I just looked at the standings. They're 30-18. Denver's right there. Even the Spurs are right behind them with only 18 losses in the loss column.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
I'm kind of nervous because I have a futures bet for the Lakers that I put before the year, and I'm kind of nervous right now.
What was that bet looking like? Was it like a seeding, like finish top three and seed in the West, or what did that look like?
No, it was to win the championship.
Okay. I mean, if they have the event.
As long as they're healthy, if they get in the playoffs, I'm confident, 100% confident. They're going to run through everything. They don't need home court. LeBron doesn't need home court.
Right.
AD's going to be 100%. It's just like, when does the season end? It's not the NBA anymore, right?
Yeah, I think the play-in is the second week of May. I think that's the play-in tournament. So we still have about a month and some change left. So if they can get back, hopefully by the end of the month or something like that, that would be really beneficial. But, I mean, that's a lot of games still. So, like you said, if they slide to 6-7, something like that, it can make the first round really interesting. Imagine if they play the Clippers in the first round. How crazy
What happens if the Jazz have this historic season, the best season they've had since Stockton and Malone, and they play the AC Lakers and they lose? Oh, and you know, I would feel so bad for them if they go and win 50 plus games and they just look across from them and it's LeBron and AD in the first round. They're like, "Yo, dude, come on, man!
What a reward, man! Like, it's like congrats, you get, you know." Arguably the greatest player of all time in the first round. So that's a good point, man. These players are going to be wild. But, from the Nets' perspective, it's pretty interesting, especially when it comes to their money situation. You know, I was looking at their cap earlier, and, like, imagine this. So the luxury tax amount for next season is $136 million projected. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at just the contracts of three players, Harden, Kyrie, and KD, you are already at 121 for three players. If you add in Joe Harris, you're at 100, and I think it's 138. So you're already past the tax with four players. So imagine how that's going to add up every year. Like, they're going to have to make some tough decisions.
You think one of those players takes a pay cut?
Possibly. If they want to, you know, maybe get to that, probably can't do it next year. But maybe the year after that, when some options start coming up, they can probably decline the option and maybe re-sign and do something that way. But golly, like, I don't feel great about having to pay all that money. I mean, it should be worth it, but it's going to get tight. It's the same thing that happened to the Heat back in the day. It's the same thing that happened to the Warriors when the tax penalties just became so great that eventually you just start losing the depth. You start losing, like, you know,
when was it that Golden State lost Barbosa and they lost like so many people that one year?
Yeah.
Kevin Durant, but you saw it, especially in that Toronto series, you lost Kevin Durant and then the bench was just like, Steph and Clay tried to do so much. Then Clay went out and Steph was like, oh, damn.
Exactly. They lost Iguodala. Like, guys like that will start to trickle away because you're like, you have to start cutting some costs. Like, Spencer Dinwiddie's going to be a free agent. Bruce Brown is coming up on free agency. Jeff Green, all guys that have been very key in this season. So I'm interested to see what happens with their situations because there's bird rights there. They can re-sign them, but it's just going to just escalate that tax number to be crazy high.
What do you do? Like, if you were Brooklyn, the heads of Brooklyn, if they lose the finals this year, what do you do? Are you still keeping that big three and Joe Harris and then just like filling that in with vets?
Yeah.
And just like role players?
Yeah, I would continue on the course because I think at this point you invested so much just to get those guys on the same roster. Mm-hmm. I think that you kind of have no choice but to keep moving forward and then maybe exchange some of the pieces on the margins because that amount of talent that you have is just – you don't see that very often. And then you're getting one of the best shooters in the league in Joe Harris. I think you ride that out for at least another season just to see what you got. Because if you're that close, like maybe a little tweak or two can get you to the championship.
Yeah, on paper, this is probably like one of the best big threes ever, if not, especially on the offensive side.
Oh, offensively, like
it's... You can easily combine, give you 100 points a night.
You ain't lying, man. Like, we're talking about one of the best isolation, like three of the best isolation players in basketball, three of the best straight scorers. They're all incredible shooters. Kyrie is, I think, the best ball handler of all time. You know, no disrespect to AI and those guys, but the dude's a magician. He makes things happen out of thin air. So it's just like, it's ridiculous, man. And I got to ask you this. If you're, you know, this is a side note, but if you're playing 2K or something, like you're playing against one of your friends and playing now, are the Nets like off limits like the Warriors used to be? Like, you cannot.
I came from that side of 2K just playing regular rosters. I have not played with regular rosters in so long, but if I played one day and someone were the Nets, I don't know what I'll do. I think I probably have to be like an old school team, most likely.
Yeah.
But it's 2K. Let's be honest. In 2K, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, more so Kevin Durant, probably one of the fakest players in that game in history. It's Kevin Durant. It's Rudy Gay from like 2K13, LeBron from that era too. Like, those guys are just insanely fake for no reason. It's the animations, the glitchiness. They give Kevin Durant like Slender Man arms, and it's like you can't stop him in that game at all.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think the toughest players to guard in that game are historically guys that can shoot and dunk. So if you're talking about guys that can just jump over three defenders and throw it in, and guys that can green release, you know, 70% contested, like those are the guys that just completely break the game because you have no defense for them. You know, you have nothing left. But, you know, in any case, that team is absolutely insane. But I just wanted to put things in perspective real quick because people are saying like, It's not fair that they get these players. And now there are reports that the league is going to have talks with the Players Association for the next CBA to maybe potentially
throw some about buyouts, right? I saw that article. I was going to read it. I just haven't. And like they were complaining about it. It's kind of like, I feel like I understand them, but at the same time, like, you know, it's the rich get richer. It's like, what can you really do? Like, if the player gets bought out, they have the right to go. You can't give them a list. Okay, you could go to A, B, and C, but you can't go to the team that you really want to. Like,
right.
You know, like you're just stripping their privileges away of being the professional athletes that they are.
Right. I think maybe, I mean, you have to have fundamentally change the rules of the buyout if you're going to go this route. So, I don't know. Maybe you can only give a certain amount of money back to your team. Like, you can't give back, like, more than $5 million or something. Or maybe teams that are in the tax have severe penalties when it comes to signing these guys, or there's things like that they can do. But I'm not quite sure how big of a problem it is, because these guys are good, no question, like LaMarcus and Blake Griffin and Gorgui Dieng, who just signed with the Spurs that took L.A. spot. But they're not game breakers. They're not going to change the championship chances of these teams. Like,
the Nets
are broken either way, you know? Like, it's not like if they have Blake in L.A., they're, oh, my gosh, like, they put them over the top. Like, they're not going
to – I still have them in the finals regardless. It's just the name. Like, you think of Blake Griffin, you think of all the dunks, all the posters, Kendrick Perkins just destroying everybody. Yep. And then L.A. going 20-10, literally being one of the five best power forwards at a time in his prime with Dame and all of them back in Portland. But they're, like I said, vets. They're going to give you 10, 15 points a game. It's not being scared of them at all. It's just like, damn, like, Kevin Durant, you're really trying to recruit, like – everybody, like, what is next?
Sure is, man.
I saw a tweet today. Someone was like, oh, the Brooklyn Nets are finalizing a deal with Bill Russell because he was in the gym working out. It's like, yeah, you're trying to get everybody more.
Bill Russell, man. Hey, Bill Russell still pull up and give him some boards, man. Like, dude's a legend. But, yeah, you're not lying, man. KD definitely recruits anytime he can. But, I mean, that's the beauty of KD, LeBron. Like, these guys have pull. They have influence. So sure, when they go and recruit, people listen. You know,
like, you would not want to play with someone like them. Like, you probably, like, when you're on the floor with KD, you probably just gonna stand in the corner and you're like, how the hell does he do that? Like, you don't have to for the rebound. Chances are that jump shot is butter. You can't block that jump shot. You really can't.
Right.
Unless you're as tall as him and the same length and all that. Like, I don't even think Ben Simmons can block his jump shot. KD has one of those jump shots that he just, like, the ball is all the way back here. You can't stop.
It's almost like a slingshot release. So it's not like he puts that in front of him. It's more like, to, you said, to the side over here. And you put in this length.
And you're 7 feet and you're jumping like 2 feet off the ground because you just, that's how his jump shot is. You really can't stop it.
Right. Super smooth, man. But all those pieces together is what gives the Nets this unique advantage, the shot creation, the spot up slash pull up shooting, like everything like that. The finishing is on another level. So, you know, I'm looking at teams that can give them a really serious competitive series. I don't know if there's anybody besides maybe Milwaukee and Philly, like in the East. Like, I see those two teams, they're going to really give them, I think, a run for their money. Like, Embiid is going to give them its problems, like, all day long.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to stop him. I really don't know who's going to stop him at all.
Yeah. Like, when he's back healthy, I think he's coming back on Saturday. But that's probably the best opportunity for somebody to potentially knock him off.
What about you don't like your team? I like them. Riley loaded up on perimeter defense. I think, like, in the top 15 when it comes to averages of, like, steals, I think Jimmy's there, Iggy's there, and Trevor Ariza's there. I saw that game against the Knicks. He couldn't hit a jump shot, but, you know, he's there for defense. And then Victor Oladipo, I think he makes his debut tonight.
Yep. That's what I'm hearing. That's
a piece to my fantasy team. The league we're in, everybody on my team is done. AD is out. Bagley is out. Embiid is out. LaMelo Ball is out. And it's just like, I'm so – I stopped looking at the league. I was like, I'm probably going to lose until the playoffs when they all come back, and then I'll make my run. It's just bad, man.
I remember that, man. I remember you were playing my guy 1 week, and you had all these guys go off. I think it was like Middleton, Luka, LaMelo Ball, Markkanen. Like, everybody just went crazy.
Crazy-ass team. Like, it's insane how I drafted that. I actually traded – I traded Colin Sexton and MPJ for AD, and now I kind of regret it because it's
– Yeah. Like, yeah.
It is. Hopefully they come 100%.
Listen, I love podcasting. Who doesn't? The process is great until you get to the part where you have to edit and distribute your podcast. It's time-consuming, and we all love convenience. Well, here's the most convenient option possible. It's called Anchor. There's creation tools in the app that will allow you to record and edit right from your phone, tablet, or computer. It will distribute your podcast for you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other popular platforms. You can make money from your podcast with minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go to the free Anchor app or anchor.fm right now to get started. And trust me, you won't regret it. Yeah, man, it's just a tough business. Fantasy works a lot like real life. I mean, you have to kind of go through the ups and the downs. Guys are going to be in and out. And it seems unfair sometimes, but like a lot of times it comes down to like who's the last team standing in terms of health. Because you look at the teams at the top of each conference, especially in the West, it's like, well, who do you have up there? The Clippers, the Suns, and the Jazz. The Clippers are going through some issues. They've had some guys hurt. But for the Jazz and the Suns, they've been very healthy.
That's what I've been saying, that the Jazz have not – it's not even trying to put anything upon them. They have had a perfect season. Yep. Nobody has been – Donovan Mitchell missed, I believe, yesterday for like personal reasons. Nobody has had an injury. And I hope, God forbid, anything happens to them. But they've just been blessed this year for nothing bad to happen. Same thing with the Suns. I'm happy for the Suns, though. Like, I haven't seen the Suns good in the past, like, 14 years since Steve Nash and Amar. Right.
Oh, it's been a minute, man. Doing something. Mm-hmm. They definitely deserve some success. They've earned that. But, yeah, it comes down to health a lot of the times, man. And they're making a move out there. So we'll see what happens with the Brooklyn situation. And they're really taking off here. But it takes time to reach a level like that. You have to develop young players. You have to exchange picks for that star talent. And, they're at the top, but there are other teams that are still kind of at the beginning of the process and trying to build that out. So that brings us to the situation for OKC. So looking at OKC situation, they just came from an era with Westbrook and Paul George where they were trying to compete for a championship. Things didn't work out in their favor. So they completely righted the ship, shift things around. You know, they got CP3, they got Schroeder, they got a good team last year as well. But they decided that team was capped out at like a lower, probably a bottom 6, 7, 8 finish every year for the playoffs. So they exchanged those pieces and they really turned that into a team with a lot of promise. Not necessarily a good team right now, because right now they're sitting at 13th in their conference at a record of 20-27. But the crazy thing about this team, Chloe, is that they're not good, but they're not bad.
I think the reason they told SGA, like, yo, you're not going to play the rest of the year is because, like, yo, you guys are winning and we're not supposed to win. You know, Cade Cunningham isn't in this draft. We're supposed to
win. Too many W's, man. Too many W's. Slow down. It
really hymns out. Baisley's out. He's been out forever. Dort has been out. It's like, yo, they're very PTO, man. Going crazy too. It was like
it's against the PTO.
They're doing the right way of thinking. They're saying, oh, he's hurt. You know, we have to sit him. That's our star player.
Yeah.
They have 34 picks from this year till 2027. One of those picks are gonna hit, and for sure they're gonna trade some of those for a star. Like they have to. Yeah. They're not gonna have all those players and just run by them and hit. One of these is gonna hit. A star has to come to OKC because of the package Presti is gonna put together.
Exactly, man. And it's really insane because they're 29th in offensive rating. And that's to be expected when you have guys trying to find their way on offense. And, you know, guys like Moses Brown just came out of the G League, younger players that haven't been in the league that long. But then you turn around and you look at their defense. It's like, wait, hold on a second. They're 11th in defensive rating in the league. That's really incredible because defense is not easy, especially when you're coming from the college ranks, the G League. Things move so fast. So I think that's a credit to the coaching staff, obviously, as well as the players, because they're starting to grasp this system so fast with guys in and out. I mean, that George Hill is in and out. He got traded. Horford is not playing. So the fact that they've been able to build a type of defense with the young guys in this team is really incredible. And as you mentioned, SGA hasn't played probably in the last 4 or 5 games. He's missed 12 games overall. So now they're relying on guys like Isaiah Roby, Moses Brown, Pokuševski. I finally had learned how to pronounce that name right, so I'm feeling pretty good about that.
He's from France, I believe. Theo.
Yeah.
He's fire.
For sure. So here's some numbers to chew on here. Their last game was against the Toronto Raptors, which is a W. Prayers go out to the Toronto fan base because they're going through it, man. Like, they can't buy a win right now. But for Isaiah Roby, he had 17 and 10. Moses Brown, who I should have picked up in fantasy, I'm kicking myself about that, 20 and 12. And Svi Mykhailiuk, who they got in that recent trade for, shipping out Diallo, getting him back from Detroit, 22 on 4 of 8 shooting from 3. So I'm just like, wow, like these guys are gelling already. I think they enjoy playing with each other. And I go to League Pass every night and I see the Thunder and I don't turn away like those old Sixers teams, the process teams, where they were just like,
those teams are just like blatantly like, we suck. We don't want to play this year. We want the number one pick. Like the Thunder are like, because these young guys, it's like they want to be a part of the rebuild. So they're like, we got something to prove. Like these guys, the coaches and the GMs and stuff are probably looking at us like, oh, which one can we trade for like more picks or a better player? But it's like, no, we're the future. We can build something together. So it's like having a chip on your shoulder. You're young. You're starting your NBA career. You don't want to be playing awful and just like then disappear in 3 years because you were a part of the tank season. No, you're part of the future for the OKC Thunder.
Right. They're getting some guys to really buy into this system. And I think the problem with the process Sixers is like they alienated the fan base. People didn't want to watch that team. We didn't want to watch them as fans on League Pass. They're just so dreadful. There's this revolving door. It's almost like it took us so long just to find a few guys that they could really just like say, hey, this is our future. Mm-hmm. But the Thunder, this is basically year one of the restart. They already have Dort on board. They already have SGA on board. Moses Brown just got a new deal. He's very young player, so he's going to have a lot of upside. Roby might be in those plans. Pokuševski might be in those plans. So that's already five players that you can feel comfortable in saying, like, we're going to ride with these guys for a few years, and they're going to be a part of our core. With the Sixers, it was just like guys are in and out and in and out. It just wasn't any continuity. There wasn't any kind of identity. But that's already there with the Thunder. So that's really just incredible from a coaching's perspective, a front office perspective. They gathered the picks already. It's like they gathered the picks and they remain competitive. So they're splitting the difference very well. And I think that's just an incredible job. And I love that they're not terrible. They're watchable. They're actually a fun team.
And I want to give props to Chris Paul because I feel like he put that fire in Shea. And now he's putting that fire into the rest of the team. Like, he's only, like, 23 years old, but he's that leader of that team. And he's got those SGA, Kentucky boy. Like, I did not expect that from him. He is going crazy, like, 24, 6, and 7 before he got hurt. And he's just going to keep on getting better. He's that future of that team for sure. And if they're going to get a lottery pick. Let's say they get Cade. That team is going to be scary. 100% going to be scary.
Oh, I would say right now the league better hope and pray they don't get Cade. Or, you know, a guy like that, Evan Mobley in the draft. Because if that happens, like, man, they're really going to be taken off.
With Moses, it's going to for sure be a problem. And I feel like the next coming years, it's not going to be positions anymore. It's just going to be 1-5. Like, you see De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese playing the backcourt, and they're not even that big. You got Fred and Kyle. Like,
with Buddy Hield.
Yeah. Eventually, it's going to be positionless basketball. The Kings have even been in the mocks taking Cade. So imagine Cade, Buddy, Tyrese, and De'Aaron. Like, where's your power forward there? It's like, I feel like people are just going to start playing small ball now.
Yeah, it's definitely trending that way. But with that being said, there is still a value on these bigger guys like Moses Brown. Like if you're 7'2" and you have some spring in your step, you know, you can rebound, you can block shots. There's always going to be a place for you in the league because there's no substitute for height. You can't teach it. You can't develop it. It just is what it is. Mm-hmm. So that kind of size with that talent, like, man, that's going to be a huge difference maker. So I'm really happy for his situation, you know, grinding through the G League. He was a part of that, like, that meme we see all the time. Or
keep your head up, boy.
Keep your head up, man. Like, always I think it was like, so things like that, man. Like, he really got it out the mud and he really made a name for himself. So guys like that. And also Dort's story, because Dort was a guy that came in. He wasn't, like, a highly sought-after player. He didn't have a lot of hype behind him. But he really just grinded it out. And I think guys like that are starting to establish the culture too, basically saying, like, you can grind your way into this league. You don't have to be number one pick. You don't have to be super high lottery pick. Even Shea, like, he wasn't super high up there in the draft. You know, he was a little bit lower in the lottery. So it goes to show you, man, Pokuševski overseas.
Those lower players, you got that chip on your shoulder. No one thinks you're going to be anything. So it's like, you don't have anything to prove because it's like no one's paying attention to you. So you could just work and grind. And when you pop off, that's when everyone's like, oh, compared to like some of these five-star recruits, they can't handle that pressure. Like, yeah, they're good and they have the talent, but it all starts with here. If you're not right here, nothing else is going to work at the end of the day. That's why I feel for some of these like high recruited like athletes, like these high school players, because it's like, bro, these kids are 17, 18 years old. And it's like, you got, it's like they're famous. They're like 26 years old. They got a family and everything, but they're not. They're still kids. They're still growing. They're still growing here, but you want them to just grow on the basketball court. It's a whole different ballgame.
It really is, man. And, you know, if we're looking at the financial situation for this team, like it's the complete opposite of Brooklyn's. So where Brooklyn's, you know, their books are loaded. They're going to have tax penalties coming in the next few years. But for the Thunder, it's like they have like no money going out. Like the only guaranteed money they have going out next year is $44 million, you know, total. And that's almost as much as like James Harden makes by himself for Brooklyn. So just think about that for a second.
It's fucking insane.
It really is insane, man. Like their biggest contract is going to be Al Horford, $27 million. After that, you know, they have some guys that are going to be unrestricted. Darius Miller is going to be unrestricted. Justin Jackson is going to be restricted. After that, the next guaranteed contract is Shea at $5 million. So it's like they have all the options in the world. They have all those picks. Man, it's a fascinating story, man. Like the world is theirs. They can do anything they want. They can trade. You know, they can trade Horford next season if they want to try to, you know, get off of him somehow. Maybe attach a pick or two to him to get off his contract. Like they can go so many different directions. So I just love how they can develop these guys. They can keep the books clean. They can keep the picks if they like. They can start trading them out and just continue to foster this incredible culture because they have a lot going for them. Kendrick Williams, even. We didn't even talk about him yet. He's a guy that's starting to maybe garner some interest for his play style, another grindy player, guy that does the little things on the court. You know, he's only making – he's non-guaranteed next year, $2 million non-guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So it's just like these little like low risk, high reward players that are going to garner you a lot of production for a low cost. Value per dollar is there. I love it.
I just hope with OKC, like they don't waste anybody's potential because all these guys, yeah. I think they're the youngest team in the NBA. So it's like, I don't want these guys to be wasted because they got to make the right choices. But then at the same time, don't keep a star on the bench stashed away because you're not sure what to do with him. If you're not going to play him, send them somewhere and let them thrive somewhere else. Cause you don't like, there's probably numerous players in NBA history that, you know, they have the talent, but they never had the shot to show it that they got it.
Yeah. Diallo ended up being that position. Like he got,
I had him in fantasy for a little minute. He was a monster, monster.
He was, man. He was great. And then things started to, they got some other players, some PT, and he started to kind of fall back into the rotation. So they said, all right, you know what? Let's send him off.
Second round pick.
Hey, we'll take it. Like you offer a pick, you're going to have pretty much any player you want for OKC. Like that's what it comes down to. But Diallo wasn't in the PT. He was kind of like a redundant player. It's like we have Dort. We have, you know, Kendrick Williams. We have guys that kind of do the same thing as he does. So let's go get a guy that brings us something we're kind of lacking, the shooting. So that's where Mykhailiuk comes in, drops 22 in his last game. I think they look at bringing him back on a, you know, fairly cheap deal, maybe give him 2 years or something like that. He's always been a great shooter. So
yeah, my co-host calls him Klay Thompson. That boy could shoot.
Oh, yeah. Hey, no doubt, man. Like, don't get it twisted. You know, he was over there kind of toying away in Detroit for a little bit, but he has the shooting chops. So guys like him, I think, are going to stick around maybe for a little bit just to kind of give them a little something different because they have all the athleticism. They have all the physical guys, all that. But the skill in shooting is something they're going to need to start building out over the next few years. So that's something that's going to be happening with his situation. But one other thing I wanted to talk about is how Al Horford fits into this because he's making a whole lot of money. The team just went out and said he's not going to play. So I'm just curious, like, I guess, is that a mutual understanding? Like, he's going to let the young guys get PT? I mean,
it says a lot about his character. He's a Florida Gator, so I'm always going to have love and respect for him, but it just shows a lot. They probably had that conversation, you know, we're not going anywhere. We're on a rebuild, you know, and you can mentor these players. And he probably said, yeah. I feel like once you get to a certain point in any career, like you want to teach the next generation, like teaching people, I feel like it's a good feeling. Like you're teaching someone what you know and passing it on to them. And once you see them use your knowledge, you're like, it makes you feel proud. Like, yeah, I taught him that. Yeah. Take that credit. And it's just like, I feel like what he's doing is good. He's teaching those young guys. And he is that veteran on that team. Every team has a veteran and he just so happens to be it. And he's not a bad veteran at all.
Oh, not at all, man. I think he's been in class that different ways when I haven't heard anything negative about Horford. And I mean, I can't blame the guy. Like, if you're going to pay me to sit why not? You know, pay me 27 and get some PTO, chill out a little bit, and just go do some shoot arounds with these guys and teach them a thing or two. I think it's going to have a similar effect as CP3 did on Shea. If guys like
Moses and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just imagine like Moses Brown and those guys getting coached up by Horford for a season or two. Like
in that mid-range game, it's a wrap.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a wrap because they already have all the physical tools. So you just need to give them a little bit of the kind of in-between game and give them some counters and things like that. Like, oh, man, like it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. Like they have the veterans and they're doing a great job over there. So, man, I love that for sure. So I'm interested to see how they kind of stack up against the rest of the West here. So, I mean, let's go to the standings real quick because I want to see like
right now
where they're competing in this hierarchy of the league. So, you know, currently, like they're 13th, as I stated before, and I mean, they're not too far out of the mix. I mean, they're probably not going to make the play-in if I'm just going to be honest, because it looks like right now they're a game and a half behind the Pelicans, a game and a half behind Sacramento, three games behind the Grizzlies for 10th.
I'm so, always looking Memphis and New Orleans' core, their young core over OKC's core. Literally, that's it. Minnesota, there's been reports, and I just have a bad – that franchise and the Pistons, no disrespect to them. The cities are probably amazing and stuff, but they're franchises that is like, bro, what has been there? Kevin Garnett, and then after that, it hasn't been anything. Cat is literally – they're wasting his career there.
There we are.
D'Lo, I forgot D'Lo's even there. D'Lo's just been hurt, and then like when he comes, he'll play a game, and then he'll leave. And then the same thing with the Pistons. I feel like anybody that plays on the Pistons, you're just making a mixtape so you could show the other team so they could come grab you from over there. Because it's just every single year, you know, the Timberwolves and the Pistons are going to be at the bottom of the league. And it's just like, bro, what is it going to take? Like,
you
miss on every single pick, especially the Pistons. They took Stanley Johnson, thought he was going to be Scottie Pippen. I have no idea where Stanley Johnson is. Killian Hayes, I hope he gets better. He got hurt. Let's see what happens to him. It's just like everything does not hit. Grant's there, and Grant probably already wants to go. He's like, yeah, I'm just – someone's going to come get me. Someone's going to offer a first-round pick and come grab me.
Hey, Grant's in a great position. He's, you know, like you said, he's putting out the mixtape. He's averaging in the 20s this season. You know, make a case. And he's going to be a free agent. He's still going to be in his 20s. He's going to be like 27 in free agency, 27, 28.
Yeah.
Man, cash out again. Like, he's not going to win a lot of games in the meantime.
Every team could really use him as a third piece easily.
Oh, for sure. Like, if he was a third option or something like that, man, his efficiency would go right back, way back up. And he can still do a little bit of the things he's doing now, but I think it's starting to take a toll on him as far as just like his percentages are going down. I think he's getting worn down by the workload and stuff like that.
I haven't been fantasy. There's been like he's very streaky now. I traded, if I'm not mistaken, I traded Russ when he wasn't playing that well, John Wall and Colin Sexton for Victor Oladipo and Grant. My team, the rest of my team is still squatted, so I look back at the trade. I wish I didn't do it, but it's just like Grant was going crazy, and now it's like he's very streaky. He'll drop you like 10 fantasy points because he'll do like 9 points a game, 7 points a game, and then I think yesterday he almost dropped 30 points. And he's just very streaky, but, you know, it's his first time being that number one option. He came from being a role player in Denver. He took a bet on himself, and it paid off, and it's going to pay off this summer for sure.
Oh, yeah. That's what's going to be the situation for him, and – you know, I think it's going to be the situation for some people in OKC as well. And I think Dort was a prime example of that. Like, he really just believed he can make an opportunity for himself. And, like, he got paid. But, I mean, it's a good security because it lasts for a few years. But, like, the value is crazy. And that's the other thing. Like, the OKC is not going to go out here and throw contracts out like Mason Plumlee got. And, you know, signing all these guys, like, for what? Like,
Presley is a legend. He knows exactly what he – like, he's just so smart with it. Like, he's playing that patient, that waiting game. In a couple of years, when OKC's at the top of the West, he's going to be drinking some wine somewhere in his backyard, smoking a cigar. He's like, yeah, I did it. He's going to call Pat Riley. He's like, is this how it's done, Pat? Thank you. That's exactly how it's done, Pat.
They're all the same level, man. Like, both of those guys make something out of nothing. Like, just when you think you know what they're going to do, they're like, hey, we're going to pivot over here. We're going to shed salary. We're going to trade for this guy. We're going to, you know, move off of this contract. It's just like, they don't need much to make something happen. They just need a little sliver of space you know, a contract, a trade exception, cap space, and they're off and running. So those two guys are fantastic. I can't say any more about them, good things about them. But that's basically the sum of it, man. OKC and Brooklyn, they're in opposite places, but the NBA changes so fast. Like, we know this for a fact in the NBA. It doesn't take long to go from the top or the bottom. So give it a few years, they might be in opposite places. That's just the nature of the game, honestly, man. But I think that about covers it here. So we'll wrap this podcast up. But Khalil, thanks again, man, for taking the time to join me. Great conversation as always. Keep up what you guys are doing at your podcast, and Nothing But Facts is a great time. So love what you guys going on over there. Anything you want to plug, anything you want to share with the listeners before you head out?
We have a blog now on WordPress at Nothing But Facts. You can find me Twitter and Instagram, MBF_Klo. Write for the fam at Unwrapped and write for my own podcast. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Appreciate you having on. I got to talk to you about it, because I'm going to need you on the podcast one day, Aaron.
I got you, man.
We'll talk behind the scenes, but yeah, for sure. It's nothing but love. Appreciate you for having me on, man.
Yes, sir. You got it. For Business Casual fans, if you want to check us out on Twitter or Instagram, that's going to be BC Basketball 2. That's our handle. And bcbasketball.info is our website if you want to check out our blog posts and some other features. Free agent list, the podcasts are on there. All that good stuff is where you're going to see it online if you want to get involved with us. So that about does it here for us, guys. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to this pod. As usual, next week, another special guest, more great content for you. If you want to check out what's going on in the NBA today, we'll be right back here, same time, same place, to break it down for you. So take care, everybody. Enjoy this NBA season. Enjoy the rest of your day. And we'll be back on the pod here real soon. Until next time.